and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast, episode number 102, I think. I'm in pain, and with me is Rob Hearn.
Hello.
And John Jordan.
Hello.
I'm in pain because I tried the Xbox Kinect thing yesterday evening. And now I can't feel any limb on my body, and it hurts like hell.
Did you buy it for the purposes of exercising?
No, I was looking for some way of distracting myself when I gave up smoking. But I gave up smoking 2 weeks before I got Kinect, so I ended up just sort of... And then, you know, because it was all that pre-order stuff, I just thought, might as well get it on the exercise program. So, yeah. Right. I guess that's the answer.
Okay, a distraction from addictions.
Yeah, essentially. I still haven't smoked. It's been almost a month now, I think.
That's good, isn't it?
Mm. How many did you used to smoke every day?
About 15 grams. 15 grams?
Yeah. 15 grams of... But what's that in cigarettes? Come on, you're speaking to an amateur here.
Well, it's a bit harder because the roll-up cigarettes are smaller than the packet of cigarettes. It's about 40 cigarettes a day.
Whoa.
But it's the small ones.
40 small ones, maybe 20 normal ones then?
Yeah, about a packet, I think, yeah.
It's pretty hardcore.
It's pretty hardcore. I went cold turkey. I hate these patches. The patches, because I don't know, they're made for the idiots who smoke the packet cigarettes rather than the roll-ups. So they taste like packet cigarettes when you have them. It's really odd. You put them on your arm, but you can taste the horrible Marlboro cigarettes or whatever in your throat, like after about an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is just psychosomatic.
Yeah. I don't
Neural plasticity.
Well, technically, it shouldn't be my mind making that up, because I know a couple of other people who smoke roll-ups and try to give up by taking patches, and they got the same taste of the Marlboro at the back of their throat. I think it's just I think it's like the nicotine. Maybe there's more nicotine in the crap ones than there are in the proper roll-up tobacco ones, which only cool people smoke. Old people from Cambridge. Anyway, enough about obscure references to YouTube videos. Let's go to the news.
News!
And first up on the news this week, let's do the details of the multiplayer and more details of the actual game of Infinity Blade, which is the new name for Project Sword, which is the game based on Project Citadel.
Epic Citadel.
Epic Citadel, that's the one. It's like three names. I can only hold two in my memory at once. I'm like a ZX Spectrum. the first details of the game, which it's got a story arc about a god king. There's titans. There's always titans. It's either titans or dragons, isn't it? There's swiping to attack. Is everyone excited about this? It's got character upgrade skills.
Well, I was away when this story broke, and I can't say I've completely caught up with it. I have had a look at the videos and looked at screenshots. It looks very fancy.
But it's kind of weird though, that the video that finally came out is pretty much exactly the same video that they showed when they launched at the Apple press conference, wasn't it? Back in whenever it was for the. Was it for the 4.0 launch?
No, it'll be the iPod Touch.
It was the iPod one. Yeah. So basically, they've just waited all that time to release a video that effectively shows you pretty much what they seem to show you before. So I was a bit nonplussed by the thinking behind the press campaign, which maybe there wasn't a lot of thinking behind the press campaign. I don't know. I find it really weird because it was, even at the time we were kind of, when we were watching the first video, we were kind of thinking, there's no way that's a real time, you know, dynamic camera. That's got to be in some way, you know, we were trying to work out if it's turn based or something like that.
Mm.
I don't know why people don't announce stuff straight away. I don't know why, because it's almost like you allow speculation then to.
You're almost opening the door for disappointment, really. The door of disappointment opens up the more you leave details hanging. So, like, already people are, I've seen on a few forums, people are disappointed that it's not, like, free roaming or whatever, as far as I can see. It looks all sort of on rails.
Yeah, well, it, yeah. I mean, it's basically the camera is pre-canned.
So yeah.
because the whole point is you're doing your, you know, the point is you're doing the moves with the various weird gesture signs and the RPG elements. I mean, that's the core of the game.
So what about this multiplayer then? What form is that going to take?
Well, again, they've not been very specific about exactly what it is, and it's, I don't think it's not going to be in the launch. It's going to be like an update, as far as I can work out.
Yeah.
I'm not very interested in this because I don't really like hardcore games on iPhone. I like the iPhone for things like Cut the Rope, whereas this seems a bit.
This isn't really a hardcore game, though. I mean,
it's not really hardcore, is it?
No, I mean, I get very annoyed about the usage of hardcore in this sort of way, anyway. But I know in the usage that's now become popularly recognisable as, it's not a hardcore game.
Well, okay, a serious game then.
All right.
But I don't think it's even that, though. I mean, it's a game that will appeal to people who, you know, are really into epic, you know, as in the Gears of War type, you know, games and really big kind of graphical things. So it's not going to appeal to people who play Angry Birds, I don't think. But in terms of actually what you're doing, it's, you know, it's kind of one of those odd things where they're appealing to people with these fantastic graphics and big swords and all this kind of like mad particle effects, but actually what you're doing is like drawing a circle on the screen.
You're essentially doing Fruit Ninja. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's always the problem, isn't it? That's always the thing is, everyone will buy it because it's even, whatever price it's going to be, it's going to look amazing. It's going to be the best thing out there in terms of look. But it's going to be this kind of issue, I think, in terms of if you're reviewing it. It looks amazing, and maybe, you know, they're clever guys, so maybe there will be some interesting gameplay stuff in there. But effectively, all you're doing is drawing things on a screen, yeah, and then you're chopping someone's head off. I mean.
There's a scene in one of the Simpsons Halloween specials when it's the one where Bart and Lisa get zapped into the television, and they're running away from Itchy and Scratchy, who, because they're in the television, can now kill them. Mm. And then you know, various things happen. Homer walks back in the room. He does something with the remote control, and Bart and Lisa come back out of the TV, and they're fine. But then Itchy and Scratchy come out of the TV, and you go. But then Homer reaches down and they're actually the size of a mouse and a cat and therefore completely harmless. That is how I feel about games like this. It's kind of like these big monsters going, rah, 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 rah. But then you zoom out and you're just holding this tiny little thing in your hand. And I don't know, there's something incongruous about it for me. But when I say hardcore, I mean, so what is the definition of hardcore? Because I think hardcore is a feel. Like, is there something else that is hardcore that I'm not aware of? Because
I don't think we want to open the can of worms of definition of hardcore.
I can argue for hours. I'm in a very sort of minority point of view on it, but essentially, I mean, but if you want
to,
if
so this is hardcore break, censorship, then basically you're saying you don't want us to look at hardcore.
No.
What
I'm saying though, I'll just leave a question to the listeners though. Who is more of a hardcore gamer? The gamer who plays Angry Birds to get 3 stars and everything and all the golden eggs over the course of 3 months, or someone who plays 6 hours of Call of Duty? I'll leave you to that. But anyway.
But we're talking about the game, not the gamer.
I know, but it's the idea that... Oh, never mind. Look, stop. I'm not going to get dragged into this.
Oh, you like it in the shallow end, Will. You don't want to get deep.
Well, no, okay. Well, if you, it's kind of the point of what I was saying there is the point of a hardcore game is only in the context of how you play it. So Angry Birds is a casual game to people who only play it for like 5 minutes a day kind of thing. But for someone who obsessively tries to unlock everything, it's a hardcore game.
So that's the answer. There's no such thing as a hardcore game. There's only a hardcore gamer. I think that's good.
Anyway,
we can move on.
It was always the rule of thumb always was, if you played more than 10 hours a week, you were a hardcore gamer. And that was the thing I always thought was the easiest way to deal with it, because it didn't then matter about the game at all. It was just purely how much time you spent.
Yeah. But everyone always now uses it in the sense of, it's all about the game. It's not about the context of the game now. So, you know, shooting things is hardcore, but a clever puzzle game isn't, because it's got bright graphics. You know, it annoys me. Anyway... Related to Unreal Engine 3 games, there's an id Tech game which is coming out on the iPhone, and it's called Rage, and it's the first details of Mutant Bash, which is the first Rage release to come out for the iPhone. was released, and it's a on-rails shooter, I think.
Yes. Like Doom Resurrection.
Yeah.
And I think this was a disappointment to some. I was a bit disappointed because I thought it was going to be a proper shooter like Call of Duty World at War Zombies, but it's going to be more like Doom Resurrection, which isn't entirely surprising given that it's by the same developer. But Touch Arcade got a hands-on with it, so that's where we got these extra details from. And there were some funny things they said. So it was a very positive hands-on, which might be fair enough. It might just be a great game. But they said, you know, so the graphics are amazing. Oh, and by the way, it's an on-rail shooter. And I know that some of you might be annoyed by this, but and the two things they said, which seemed quite funny to me. One, I couldn't, if it wasn't on rails,
I read that, yeah.
If it wasn't on rails, I would have done exactly the same anyway. And then it said, and anyway, it's so linear that it sort of doesn't make a difference that it's on rails. But, you know, the second of which I think is valid.
That's all right. The first one was hilarious.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, so it's on rails.
Yeah. But, I mean, obviously, the reason that people do, the reason that on rails is used is just because as soon as you can control the camera, just what you can do with the graphics, you know, the graphical quality, you can probably double it in terms of, you know, exactly where the camera's going to be, you know exactly what it's going to be looking at, you know exactly what bits of the, you know, the environment to make good and what bits don't really matter because you can't see them. So that's the reason they do it. Is, and also obviously the other reason is doing first person shooters on a touch device. It's just really hard to get right. So in an accessible way as well. So obviously with on-rail shooters, anyone with any experience, you know, without, no matter what experience they've got of playing games, can kind of, they don't feel like they're completely lost. Because even on console first-person shooters, you know, you have to pretty much know what you're doing often, you know. If you just come to it, if it's the first time everyone forgets the first time they play a first-person shooter on a console, and they're just like, oh, I can't, you know, you can't, you're hopeless. It's like running a bike, you know, but everyone forgets about it after, you know.
Mm. Yeah, no, it does make sense. Although, I mean, and this isn't necessarily valid, but Doom Resurrection got a 7 from us, and World at War Zombies got a 9. So there's a precedent for us at least liking games where you have the freedom to move around. Although, yeah, I can completely see what you're saying, and I do think it's probably more of a gameplay thing than a graphics thing almost, because there's kind of no point in making the graphics great if...
Well, there is.
If you're taking away from the gameplay, I mean, if you're making the right gameplay choices, then there's every reason to improve the graphics as well. But
that's not the order they think of, though. Normally,
that's it. From
games. Yeah, it's id. Id. Well, Doom 3 wasn't that great. Sorry.
You're right. Okay.
Right, okay, well, moving away from the battle of the two 90s first-person shooter developers, Hasbro is bringing out what is possibly going to be the must-have peripheral for iPhone users everywhere.
Possibly, as in not possibly.
As in not at all. It's some sort of 3D glasses. 3D glasses, even, if you want to pronounce the number correctly. The device is going to be about £15. It basically looks a bit like one of those, binoculars you used to have as a child, and you put slides in. And you're gonna,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it looks like one of them. It covers the screens. There's no way of actually pressing on the touch screen, as far as I know, and it's meant to be for augmented reality games.
ViewMaster. I think it looks kind of stupid. Don't think anyone will use it. Well, maybe they will. It's not...
You'd have to do it in your own home, because you'd look like a...
complete tool. Yeah. But it's coming out next year, was it? Because I think by next year...
Yeah, spring.
People will be getting bored with 3D already.
Well, it's coming out at the same time as the 3DS, so I expect it'll probably come out while 3D is like the hottest new topic on the block.
Yeah,
talking about it, Rob, even you.
No, 3D doesn't work with me because I've got one of my eyes doesn't see very well. So it's kind of discrimination, really. It's kind of like racism against me. So yeah, 3D stuff doesn't really work. Yeah, it's got, I, I'm I'm wary of two things. One, 3D in any form, although I am curious to see the 3DS, but generally I don't know why we have this kind of need every so often, every 15 or 20 years it seems to be, that's the trend, of trying to make everything 3D and then hopefully in this case, like last time, retreating and realizing that it's much more sensible just to let everything be 2D. So I don't really like the 3D and I want that to go away. And I don't like peripherals. On an iPhone, I mean, on a handheld device, I sort of think peripherals and handheld devices don't make sense together, because what you want from, you want just the device. You don't want to have to bring other things with you, or that starts to defeat the purpose of having it. And speaking for myself, I can't imagine 3D being something that's interesting enough and which will enhance gameplay enough to be worth anyone's while, either buying one or carrying one around with them. Is my view. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm a sucker for 3D, but really? Even I think, yeah, I love 3D stuff, but unfortunately, even I think this looks shocking.
you have to think that, you know, Hasbro are not necessarily doing it. They're doing it for their own very specific reasons, which is one, they can probably manufacture it for about 50 cents, and so, you know, it's not. If you're a toy manufacturer, it's all about a fad thing, isn't it? So it's all about what's the thing you can sell at Christmas this year. So they're not necessarily expecting to sell any in April, necessarily. Well, when's it coming out? Okay, so they are expecting to sell them in April. but you know, they're kind of thinking, they're thinking 2011 is a thing where, a year where everyone's been going 3D. I think there will be a big push because of Nintendo. So if they can sell something that they're going to make, like, I don't know, even like, you know, $5 or $10 on, that's kind of crappy, but you can watch, kids can watch movies on it. I mean, the movies thing, I think potentially could work, but I don't think, you know, no one's gonna. The game stuff is, I imagine, fairly irrelevant.
You'd have to actually get the 3D movies from iTunes, though, wouldn't you? I don't think they sell them yet, do they? I haven't checked their mind. I could be talking completely.
It depends, because we don't know how the thing works. Because it could, you know, because some of these things just do. They're not really 3D. They're just like really dodgy bits of kind of, you know, plastic that make things look. You know, the whole 3D thing is very technically complicated. Exactly what is a proper 3D thing? Exactly what is just like fake? Essentially faking it to look a bit kind of weird. So there's lots of things you can buy to put over screens to make them look what we might call 2.5D. So it may just be. I imagine it's just a really cheap knockout thing that they're going. You know, probably cost them a few million quid to put out, and they think if we sell, you know, a million of them, we'd have made like a massive profit, or effectively a massive margin profit.
Yeah.
But isn't that, you know, we're not going to be starting a new section for Hasbro 3D games.
Yeah, that would be interesting if that actually happened. Anyway, moving from 3D games to, or 3D films to 2D games. We've got the results of Octo. Actually, no. Let's go for. Let's go. Actually, I've linked now. Anyway. Oh shit. Never mind. Going from 3D to 2D games. The results of Quality Index's massive October roundup were in last week, I think, and it showed that Cut the Rope and Linkoids were the two top critically rated games of the month of October. This is out of not just our site. Because I don't think we've actually reviewed Linkoids yet, but of a hell of a lot of other iPhone review sites, as well as us. So Modern Combat was in there in third position, Modern Combat 2, that is. A deserved winner, Cut the Rope. What does everyone think?
I think it's a good game.
I think it's a really good game. Although I finish it now.
you got all the stars. Have you hardcored it? Will?
I'm missing two.
Okay.
I think I can't remember. I just played it really solidly when it first came out and blitzed it. I was number three in the country for at least 2 days on three of the stages, but or three of the worlds. Sorry, but yeah, I don't think I am anymore. Yeah. All right. Deserved winner. So
it was good. So, but I was sort of surprised. To discover that even though there was a game called Linkoids, it's always funny when that's the thing that's good about QI, is it heightens your awareness. and because we haven't reviewed Linkoids, although it's in, you know, it's coming. But Linkoids, does anybody know anything about that?
Yeah, I do, because I was supposed to review it. I'm very busy. I'm a very busy man, as you know. Okay. No, it kind of came out, and I got a preview. Did I get a preview build? I got a preview build of it, I think. So I was like playing it kind of quite early, but I couldn't really decide what I thought about it. It was a kind of real borderline type game.
Right.
Because it's kind of, anyway, I'm not reviewing anymore, so Richard is reviewing it. So
it doesn't sound like it should be the number one.
Yeah, I was about to say, it doesn't strike me as a number two game.
No, the thing with QI is obviously it just takes reviews as they come in. So I think, you know, Cut the Rope was released at the start of the month, so it's got like 18 reviews. And Linkzoid was released like come towards the end of the month, so I think it's only got 4 reviews. Mm. So if you were comparing them, you'd say Cut the Rope's average is more, you know, is more kind of solid, because it's more people have reviewed it and given it that high score. So
it has statistical significance.
There's EVAC as well, at number 4, which was very new when the chart was released. They only had 2 reviews. But that's been picking up. I've seen a few more for that, actually. It's been picking up a bit of steam. Could be good.
I mean, it's always the thing with obviously QI updates itself as soon as another review comes out on our site. So, you know, it's a dynamic thing, whereas these stories, obviously, for their reasons are static, because it's like a moment in time. So you have to go back to the QI and see exactly what's...
And, of course, if you want to do that, listeners, then go to iphone.qualityindex.com, I think.
Yes, I was slightly surprised to see that Galaxy on Fire was, I think it was 5th of 10.
Yeah, 5th, yeah.
And yeah, I assumed it would do better, really.
But at that high level, they're very, the averages are very close together, aren't they?
Densely packed, yeah.
So, you know, so and it's all, it was above, it was like 8, and it's average of 8.5, and it's like, you know.
Yeah, pretty much all those games are worth getting. Well, I can see. Well, all those games in the middle part of that chart, especially Galaxy on Fire 2, Game Dev Story, and Samurai 2, they're all pretty good. And Angry Birds, if you like Angry Birds. Which I don't. Anyway. Right. Another news story, final one, I think, for today, is that, it could be out by the time you listen to this, which is going to be annoying, but iOS 4.2 is supposedly out this Friday. Or iOS 4, if you're on the iPad, because that's what all of the developers are putting down on the App Store. Bit of trivia for you there. It's a big update for iPad owners, especially because it's the one which has the rubbish game center added to every game. But more importantly, it's got multitasking, which is not that great multitasking, but yeah.
It's good. Fast app switching. Because it means...
Is it? Do you ever use it? I never use it. Well, I've only got an iPod, so...
But you use it... I mean, you don't go, right, I'm going to do some fast app switching. But, you drop out of a game, then you come back in, and you're exactly where you left off. I think it's quite nice.
I spend more time going into see what's multitasking and switching it all off.
Yeah. I used to do that quite a lot.
Because the battery's... life is completely, not completely killed, but it certainly goes down a lot faster.
Yeah, I showed Rennie how to do that. Actually, Rennie, erstwhile podcast co-host, he had his iPhone 4. He wasn't aware of this fast app switching, and I showed him, and he instantly became addicted, and it was almost like a game in itself.
Switching's off.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean, but I used to do the same. Double tap, get rid of, close that down. But yeah, no, I did notice the difference in that I appreciated the fact that I could drop out of things and drop back into them and not lose my progress.
I think it's different with it with an iPhone. It's different, isn't it? Because you're using it in a general way. Whereas with my iPod Touch, I just use it effectively for gaming. So that's a bit different kind of a usage.
Well, and also it's getting Game Center. Come on, there's no.
No, I don't know why everyone's so mean about Game Center. I mean, you know.
I'm just bitter and disappointed because I defended it all the way running up to its launch. I was defending it against all sides. Everyone saying it looked crap and everything. I was saying, no, it would be great. And then it came out and it wasn't great.
every new, you know, iOS release, they'll add something to it. I mean, it's, you know, the problem is it's not a priority for them, like, you know, it was a adding features was a priority for OpenFaint or ScoreLoop, because that's their entire business. So, you know, obviously for Apple it's not. It's just a thing that occasionally they'll add things to, and then once in a while they'll add something massive to. So,
well,
I find it odd that people are so angry about it, as you clearly do, Will.
I can get angry about anything. Jeez! Fucking hate jeez!
Don't stop.
Anyway, yes, so right, that's the news. Let's go down to the...
Oh, there is something else, though. What? Really odd. Sorry, I've got to say this. I was talking to a developer earlier this week, and I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I don't even know if it's interesting. But apparently, the update on the iPad will change... You know, there's a little slide switch on the side of an iPad to lock the screen orientation?
Yeah.
Apparently, the update changes that into a volume off switch.
What?
Which is not big in and of itself, I don't think, but it's clearly an odd thing for Apple to do if they do it, as in changing the function of a hardware switch.
Well, the reason they've done it is because, and yeah, I think this is true, because it was a few developers got hold of iOS 4.2 a while ago,
yeah,
and kind of did feature roundups, and this was one of them. But it's because on the iPhone or iPod Touch with iOS 4, if you double tap at the bottom, the home screen, home button, whatever it's called,
yep,
and then go to the left, then there's an on-screen button for locking the orientation.
Yeah, the software button, yeah.
So presumably the iPad's just going to get that as well.
No,
so
it does, yeah, exactly. What it, yeah. But it's just really odd, because I always leave my iPad locked in a landscape position.
Yeah.
Oh, I do it locked in portrait.
So we say the way you want to do it, but to change the function of a hardware switch is almost the most un-Apple thing I can imagine Apple doing, because yeah, basically that just means what we decided to begin with, which they've been spending years arguing about, and actually to put a hardware switch in there for that must have been a big argument, because obviously they want as fewer things on the switches on as possible. So for them to change that to a volume off switch, which you can do by just holding down the volume, to me just seems very kind of ludicrous.
Yeah.
Maybe not ludicrous. Ludicrous is probably too strong a word, but
odd. Crazy. Well, yeah, going from crazy design choices to crazy rumors, let's go down the mine. The rumor mine.
As opposed to the other mine we often go.
Let's not go down the truth mine. That place is really boring. The truth miner just sits there on his rickety chair regaling you with boring stories about facts and trivia.
Rimmer. Rimmer.
We're down in the horrible, dark, dank mine, which smells of must, and sweat, and blood. The blood and toil of the rumor miner. I've talked to him a little bit earlier, and found out that he's saying that Mega Man titles are going to be coming to Capcom's much maligned Capcom Arcade, much maligned by me and Tracy. Which, I mean, that's good for certain people. You know what? I've never actually played a Mega Man game, so I don't know how excited I should be about that news.
I've never played one either.
Some of them have been good, and most of them have been fairly mediocre. I don't know, it's one of these... Oh. What was that?
Sorry, that was me closing my door. It's being blown open by the coming storm from outside.
From the storm down the mine. No, Mega Man is one of these typical Japanese things. I think the first games were released so early on that he kind of became, you know, like a figure, like a gaming kind of figure that kids grew up with. When you don't know, you're a kid and you don't know what's a good game or not, you just get one bought for you. But that's what happens, isn't it? I mean... Okay.
It's a sly dig at Mega Man.
Well, no, but it is. He's you know, sort of like, kind of some of the, you know, very occasionally there'll be like a really good Mega Man game, but generally they'll just be fairly generic kind of action platformer type things. That's my take on him.
Apparently, okay. The rumor miner, because it means nothing to me, but he said that Mega Man 2 is the first one that's going to come to the arcade, which I guess must mean that one was better than the first one. See, now, if you talked about Castlevania, I'd be a little bit more au fait with my 80s Nintendo, etc. games, but no, Mega Man. No idea.
No. because there's a big silence on there. It may be a rumour, but no one's very bothered.
Well, I was excited when he told me about the second rumour, though.
Yeah.
He said that the Final Fantasy Tactics, the War of the Lions, is scheduled for December. Although, to be fair, I was excited then because he said Final Fantasy Tactics. Then I remembered, hang on, wasn't that meant to be out last month? And then I became a little bit more, 2 months ago, in fact. So,
this was quite funny. We were absolutely sure it was going to be September the 15th. Because I think, was it Comic-Con or something like that?
They said it.
Well, yeah, I mean, apparently a PR guy said to a journalist, I think that certainly happened. I don't think the company made they didn't do a press release or anything, but I think somebody was told, they reported on it, everyone else reported on it, and it just became fact. And then but what I liked about it is it was like 2 days before, it was like September the 13th, the Square Enix probably realized that everybody was desperately waiting for this game and, you know, sitting there going, oh, here it is, I can't wait now. And they just said, hey, we never, what? No, it's not coming. We never said it was coming. And here we are, and it's still not here.
Yeah, so December. It's December now for one of the best tactics RPGs on portable consoles.
Although it might be absolutely terrible.
It could be.
As well.
Why would it be absolutely terrible?
Well,
it could be a bad conversion. It can't be absolutely terrible, surely.
If it's a bad conversion, it could be terrible.
If it crashes
all the time.
Yeah, no, I suppose so.
It will be terrible to me, because I don't like this kind of game. So I'll qualify it with that. But there are games that were good in the past that come to this platform and don't work for whatever reason. This could be one. Or it could be great, you know.
I reckon it'll be awesome.
The problem is with those kind of a game that's so associated with another platform. I don't think it's going to come. You know, presumably it'll be priced fairly high, and people who are really into those games and Final Fantasy will buy it. But I don't think it's going to be some breakout hit or anything, is it? It's just because you know what it is. You know, the only kind of discussion is it a good conversion? If it's a good conversion, you just go, oh, they did a good conversion job of that. You know. So, it's, again, not very exciting rumor.
I'd describe that game as a hardcore game.
Oh, definitely.
No, you said there's only hardcore gamers. There's no hardcore gamers.
No, but that game actually requires you to play for quite a number of hours before anything actually happens. That requires some sort of dedication there. It requires a hardcore gamer to play it.
I don't accept the definition. it's a game which can only realistically be played by hardcore gamers. I'll let you away with that. But
that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
We were on solid ground. Let's stay there.
All right. The final rumor is that tower defense RPG Dungeon Defenders is actually coming out next month in December. It's interesting, though, because it was announced for the iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad. A couple of weeks ago, I think, and it's also coming out for the home consoles, but that's been delayed on the home consoles and the PC, apparently. But it's still coming out for the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch on time. It's a bit like another Sonic 4, although Sonic 4 was just a staggered release rather than just delayed. So it looks nice. I have to say, it does look like a really good looking tower defense game, and it could be good. I could be sort of swayed just purely by the graphics.
Dungeon Defenders. Yeah, I mean, tower defense games, they're all right. But I've only really played one. I think I talked about this the last time I was on the podcast. Field Runners I enjoyed it for a bit, and then I realized that I just couldn't be bothered spending all the time it took to set everything up for, you know, 3 minutes of payoff. End kind of thing.
The big thing for this one, of course, is that it's going to be the first iPhone game that comes out with the Unreal Engine, as in it'll beat, I think it's going to beat Infinity Blade to release. So
it's interesting in a kind of academic way, but the only thing that's interesting for us or the people listening really is whether or not it's any good. And it might be and it might not, but it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's just another game that's coming out.
Well, maybe we should have gone to the Truth Mine this week. He'd have just regaled us stories about how Angry Birds has sold millions of copies or something like that again. Anyway, let's walk out of the room, Ryan, and go to the what we've been playing field.
What we've been playing!
And then this week, I think I'm going to start. Sorry, guys.
You always start, don't you?
No.
No, okay. Well, fair enough.
I have to check, actually. You're making me worried.
You're very excited, though, by something, so that's good.
Yeah, I've been playing two games. First one I'm going to mention very quickly is Gunbros, which I've been playing on and off pretty much for the week. I'm now level 7, same as you, John, which I'm pretty sure some hardcore listeners are about to say, level 7, I'm like level 29.
I've not been playing it very much.
I've not been playing it very much either, but it's been on and off. It seems all right. It's okay. There's a massive gap, though, again, with these in-app purchase games. I always feel like they set you up at the start for the first hour or so of play so that you can easily upgrade stuff and, you know, progress is fairly okay. But then it gets the pacing wrong when you reach level 7 and 8. Because then all of a sudden the weapons just leap up in value by so much that...
But that's the point. I mean, that is the whole point.
I know, but rather than making me want to pay for stuff, though, it's not quite... And what I'm saying is it's too far. The gap is too much. So rather than making me think, oh, I could keep playing and I could pay for this because then I can get that, I just think, oh, that's a bit too much. I don't think I can be bothered anymore. Yeah.
The thing is, though, those games work on just getting a lot of people to play them and getting a bit sticky. So immediately you know what my level is. So if you got really into it, you'd drag me along. But they know, like, you know, maybe 90% of the people who play this
game.
I
liked the friend link-up option on this game.
I think it's quite good. I mean, I think there's some really nice features to it. But I just kind of thought, I was like trying to play it like a little bit every day.
Yeah.
I found it very repetitive in the way that I can't imagine sitting down and playing it for, like, you know, even over half an hour, really.
Certainly, yeah, the structure of it's very odd, isn't it? It's just like I'm still on Revolution 1 or whatever, but it's like 50 waves and they're pretty much the same.
Yes.
One off the other. I mean, it's, yeah, you know, I liked the fact that, and also the servers were down pretty much for the whole time I was playing it, so I never got to try out the good bit of the game. Only last night I managed to get it work. Well, last night it was working. So I managed to finally bring your bro in.
Oh, cool.
And help me out. Because before then, I was getting like, I could only kill like 10 monsters at a time before my crap AI colleague died.
Yeah.
And it was just me on my own, which was a bit rubbish. Yeah. Anyway, I've also been playing another twin stick shooter, actually, called Robo-Kill.
Robo-Kill. What are you doing that? Do you plant flowers?
No. This is strangely enough. You kill robots. Ironically, as a robot.
You're killing your own.
Well, no, you're a human inside a robot, but I think he's done that to be ironic. Sort of
in
like.
In fact, I have played this game because it was originally a Flash game. Quite like all these things, a popular Flash game. That's the term you use. Convert it from a popular Flash game. You have no idea. It was assumed billions of people have played Flash games, but
Have been quite a few million people playing these popular.
I'm sure they are. Nice. No, it's funny actually. Before the iPad came out, like a developer I knew was looking to license it for iPad, and he said, "I'll play this and see what you think. Would it work on iPad?" And I was like, "Yeah, it might do."
I think it does. I think it's.
I don't know. I've not played the iPad version. So.
I suspect it's going to be a straight copy because I mean it's pretty good. I think it's a little bit off of the developer to claim that it's got 460 levels in the App Store description because what they're actually saying is 460 screens. Yeah, rooms/screens.
It's very room based. You walked around rooms and then teleported around them and opened doors and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it sort of top down?
It's top down.
Yeah.
It's
Smash TV.
Smash TV meets Diablo. So you have you'll have items like unique items and rare items. It's a bit limited in that sense. It's even more limited than Diablo actually, but it's got that sort of element to it, loot whoring as they like to call it, and also Smash TV. So you go from one room to the other. You shoot lots of monsters. There's a rainbow outside my window, and you keep going through a map. It's quite fun. It's not as good as Smash TV or Diablo, because it's...
I was going to say, comparing an iPhone game to Diablo, you really stretch out there. One of the all-time best PC games.
Well, no, I mean in the system of the loot. I mean, because it's sort of trying... It's very shallow. There's no real choice of... It makes you think there's a choice of weapons, but really there's only actually ever one right weapon set up.
Oh, really? Pick. Okay.
So, I mean, you could... In theory, you could equip it with lots of shotguns, but it's like it's not. If you looked at the stats of the other weapons, which are the, like almost the same price, it's like, oh well, that one's a lot better. I'll just use that. It's not really very involving. And also the Smash TV element, the monsters just aren't, the enemies just aren't very interesting. There's none of the big, huge enemies you get in Smash TV that surprise you. And each screen is just one wave. So you walk in, you see where all the enemies are, shoot them. Often you've got more powerful weaponry than them, so they die quite quickly, and then you move on to the next room. And there's 460 of them. So it gets a little bit dull after a while. But for the first 3 hours, I'd say I really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, but then it never went anywhere after that, so it's a bit disappointing in the end. But never mind. Yeah, I know Rob's not been playing anything this week. He's been too busy editing.
Well, also, my iPhone...
Oh, what's happened to your iPhone, Rob? What happened to that?
Something. It just stopped working.
You're very quiet. I can't hear him there. Just speak up a bit.
Stopped working. They're very faulty. So that happened. So I haven't had my iPhone. I do have. And just before this podcast, Will said, so I said, I haven't been playing anything because my iPhone stopped working. And Will said, but you've still got an iPad and an iPod Touch. And I have to admit, but I haven't charged either of them for several months. I've had a kind of clean week, but I mean, I do have something to talk about because I've been playing Find All, it's called, or something like that. Just had it up. Time Geeks Find All, I think it's called. It's kind of Find 'em Up, Where's Wally type game. I expect someone's probably already talked about it on the podcast. It did quite well. Mark Brown is one of our writers. Talks about it fondly. So it's like Where's Wally, basically, but it's got lots of sort of knowing little pop culture references, like somebody who looks very much like Moss out of the It Crowd is in amongst the scenery. And the way it works is, basically, the game says find this. Lost fisherman, and then you just have to scroll around the screen looking for the lost fisherman. Very kind of big. I mean, I've only played the first. I've got through the first area, and I'm on to the second area. And already in the second area, you're obviously finding things against the clock, and it's quite tricky already because it's very finicky. I think things like Where's Wally, very much like the numbers game and Countdown, is one of those things that everybody secretly thinks they're the best at in the world. And that's sort of what I'm like with Time Geeks and games like this. I always think, well, I mean, other people, they have these problems seeing things, but me, I've got soft eyes like in The Wire. I could just pick things up immediately. That's what I tell myself, and that's what I think. But it's tricky. It's tricky in the early stages, but it's interesting, good, nicely presented, and Time Geeks Find All. I think it was 59p as well. So give it a go.
John. That's it.
I've not been playing vast amounts, I have to say, because I've been kind of I've been away for a couple of days, so but I have played a little bit of Lil Pirates, which I think came out on Friday, which was like Capcom's freemium game. Has anyone else had a go at that one?
No, someone said it was farm. Like I saw the word Farmville somewhere in relation
it was,
to
it,
and
it
I
is,
walked
it
away.
It's kind of, yeah. I mean, it's very much like that a game that gets you to do lots of tasks that take time, and then gets you to buy things that make those tasks faster. They're kind of vaguely themed around a pirate type tasks, but effectively, like all these things, they are just
rape and pillage.
They are MacGuffins that get you to buy things. So I didn't actually get terribly far with that. And the problem, like all these games, when you see the screenshots, you have like a huge pirate ship with like loads of guns everywhere. And of course, you start off with like a like a small raft, effectively. And yeah, and I didn't like the art style very much either. It was kind of odd because the developer, Iogo, their art style's not really very good. But this was a bit too cutesy for me, I think. I mean, it's very Facebook. You have to, you know, annoy all your friends with it. So did a bit of that. And another game called Floop, which is a kind of a... I didn't invent a term for them, like a trajectory game, that's what I'm calling them. You know, it's like a physics-based 2D side-scrolling thing where you actually start off controlling an acorn, and you kind of, you know, you kind of pull back and you see the little trajectory kind of arc, and you kind of fire acorn around this these levels, and you have to fire it, initially at least, into the mouth of a huge squirrel, which is kind of amusing. It's kind of, you know, it's a nice style and stuff. And as you go along, you kind of get different kind of items to use. So you kind of get, you can fire your acorn into a cannon, and then the cannon gives you extra kind of distance and stuff. So that was kind of, I was really looking forward to it, actually. I've written quite a few kind of previews of it, but it didn't quite, it wasn't quite smooth enough. So obviously an acorn is an odd shape. It's not round. And often you found your kind of acorn would get trapped in, not it completely trapped into the scenery, but trapped in such a way that it was just annoyingly difficult to get it to go in the right direction. So I was a bit disappointed with that, really, because I kind of thought it may be, if not the next Angry Birds, at least something that you could recommend for people who like those kind of games. So that was it. no one played any good games. Where are all good games?
Well, Robocop wasn't too bad. Anyway. We don't have any questions, I don't think. Well, we do, actually. We had one from last week, which, John, you've already replied to. Why is it that you switched from video podcast to audio? Claiming that we haven't reached 100 podcasts because we haven't reached 100 audio podcasts.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, we've only done about 80 audio podcasts.
Does that mean I have to start the numbering again?
No, okay. You know, it's the difference. Numbers are our slaves, not our masters, or something. So why did we change? Because of the difference in production time. Really, it took about 3 days for our former colleague Fraser McInnes to slave his way through a video podcast, and it now takes about 45 minutes, much of which time is wasted. Well, I mean, you mix the podcast these days. What do you?
Yeah, about, do you think? About 1.5 hours. I basically just leave the podcast. I set it running, and then I play one of my games I've got to review for the week. So in a way, I barely have. It's not even. I just multitask while I'm doing it. So
there you are.
And then if I hear Rob do one of his random swearing tirades, or Ben start to try and attack Tracy, I cut that bit out.
Yeah. it's much harder if Rennie's involved.
Yes, that's when I have to be.
He said some really quite unacceptable things. Surprisingly unacceptable. Yes, so that's why, really. It's 3 days versus the length of the podcast again, to make sure nobody says anything too offensive, is the simple answer. And also because audio podcasts are much, much better.
It's good because we could describe something like a field full of poppies and roses growing out from the head of a giant. And then you can see it in your mind's eye. Rather than, because if we had to film that, that would have taken quite a big budget and a big giant.
Exactly. This is the theatre of the mind.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go.
Was that your description? Was that it? I thought it was gonna be. It was a factual description of poppies growing out the head of a giant. I mean, it wasn't a lot of colour in there, was it? It wasn't a lot of exacting. Oh, I can just see that. It was like, you know, like a poppy and a giant.
Exactly. It's very Hemingway.
It's not really poetry. Oh, there's a rose. Did I miss that? Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
What's more? What isn't, how could I have made that more visual?
Anyway, by filming it.
So that's the answer.
Was he implying that he preferred the video ones?
Yeah, I think so.
What's he called?
Kevin.k4.
He's banned. He's banned.
Banned from what?
I don't know. He's just banned.
No, actually, I'm not sure. Actually, it was quite neutral, his delivery. I can't completely say for certain that he meant that he wanted the video podcast back. So we should probably call off the hit squad that's on its way to his house. Yes, so that's the question answered, and that's the end of this week's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed the rambling and the talking and ranting and fighting and love. I hope you stick around for next week's one, where we'll be looking at all the latest new iPhone games, news, and hot rumors from the rumor mine. Join us then next week here on the podcast. I've been Will Wilson.
I've been Rob Heron.
No, I've been John Jordan.
And we bid you all good night. Good night.